are listening to the Vandal Scoreboard with me, James Tormund Aldrich, and no one else is here. Mark and Connor's room flooded the other night, so I am flying solo here today. I probably could have asked Jaden to come on, but I didn't think about doing that until this morning, so sorry, Jaden. However, we're going to kind of start the show off with soccer, speaking of Jaden, who is on the soccer beat for the Argonaut, the student newspaper here at the University of Idaho. They've had a tough couple of weeks. They lost to the University of Montana at home on October 1st, losing 2-0, and then fell in Portland to Portland State 2-1 on October 6th. However, Maddie Lasher made her valiant return to the pitch, as they call it in soccer. And next up, they are on the road still, taking on Sacramento State at 1 p.m. tomorrow. And then they'll end out their long road trip against Eastern Washington, so kind of close to home, on October 15th. So just a tough couple of games here. Hopefully with Maddie Lasher back, the Vandals can get some offense rolling. It's been since they played Idaho State, they scored 4 goals to Idaho State 0. But before that, it had been since September 7th that they had scored more than 1 goal. Before that, it was August 17th against Seattle University. So hopefully the Vandals can get the offense rolling here eventually. That would be great for the soccer team, great for Idaho Athletics to have a team alongside football to be doing really well right now. So hopefully that can they can get back into their rhythm, so to speak. Going into volleyball, a sport that, as you all know, Mark and I don't know very much about. Sacramento State was the Vandals' last game on Thursday. It was an interesting game, to say the least. There was a challenge by Coach Gonzalez, as they called the ball, or they called a point for Sacramento State after it was pancaked twice in a row, which was kind of cool to see. And then Coach Gonzalez challenged it, but, you know, really didn't have any impact on the game, as the Vandals got swept 3-0 by one of the top teams currently in the Big Sky. They take on Portland State in an hour and 50 minutes at this moment in Memorial Gym. So kind of kick off homecoming week against Portland State, which is the same game that we played my freshman year for homecoming. So technically not quite homecoming week yet, but the Vandals will be taking on the Vikings of Portland State in Memorial Gym at 1 p.m. So if you're currently listening to this, cancel all your afternoon plans so that you can go and hopefully see a whole bunch of students geared out to be the most vandalized fan and supporting our volleyball team, our student athletes, even though they are, I think, 1-16 now. Yeah, 1-16, 0-5 in conference play. Their last win was against UC Riverside on August 27th in Mem Gym at the Vandal Volleyball Invitational, and they swept Riverside. So, but they've been struggling to really get anything going. They lost in 5 sets to Idaho State. You know, it's been, other than that, they have not taken a set in conference play. So hopefully if the students show up and the most vandalized fans are really pumping noise into the gym, it could be a good game against the Vikings today. Next up, a sport that we don't talk about very often, women's golf. They took 6th at the 54-for-9 women's golf tournament a couple of weeks ago in Saratoga Springs, Utah. I believe Sacramento State took that tournament pretty handedly, and they got 17th earlier this week at the Pat Lesser Harbottle Invite at the Tacoma Country and Golf Club in Lakewood, Washington. We can go a little bit more in depth here. This is, you know, something that is not in my wheelhouse at all. But the press release here, very informational, or very informative. Zoe Newell scored a 3-under-69 in the third round to jump to 17th, leading the women to a 17th place finish. Newell recorded 5 birdies in the final round to finish with a 3-round score of 4-over. So that's pretty good, I would say. And Emma King opened the tournament with a first-round 69 and finished tied for 24th with a score of 5-over-221. And the other Emma on the team, also freshman, Emma Heyman, was 16-over for the tournament, placing 83rd, as Yvonne Vinceri and Jenna Bruggeman were 23-over for the week, finishing in a tie for 107th. My bad. And the Vandals will be near home as they play at the Eastern Washington Eagle Invitational on October 9th and 10th at the Indian Canyon Golf Course in Spokane. So if you're itching to watch some women's golf and you're in the Moscow, Coeur d'Alene, Spokane region, you can head on over there on the 9th and 10th to get some women's soccer. Next up, the women's tennis team is currently competing at the Eagle Invitational in Cheney, Washington. I would have stats, but there aren't live stats or anything. So we're going off a tweet from the Idaho women's tennis team. Team Rachel Staroveld and Ida Johansson will be representing the Vandals in the semifinals, along with Team Sullen Sepkin and Naomi Schrader. And we also saw wins from Valentina Rodas and Annabelle Davis. So that's really exciting. Valentina lived on, so I'm an RA for the university. I was last year as well. Valentina was on my floor. She took first at a tournament last year. So it's really cool to see these people that I know succeeding on the court. So that's really cool in my opinion. The thing that I feel like most people tune in to listen about is football. And we have a game that could be historic for the University of Idaho football team, as Hayden Hatton needs two touchdowns, whether they're rushing, receiving, to move into first all time. So that's very, very exciting. I'm going to talk a little bit about last week's Eastern Washington game. This information is from Mark. So even though Mark couldn't be here, he was very nice and he sent his notes over for the Eastern Washington game. His first note is that it was very windy. And as somebody who was on the field and it was really, really hot for about the first 10 minutes that I was there, and you know, we were running back and forth trying to take photos and stuff, it was really, really windy in Cheney, both on game day and the day before. But luckily, Idaho has an incredibly dominant run game, but it was a tough first half. You know, Idaho was tied with Eastern 21-21, and then EWU came out, took 6 minutes off the clock in the third quarter to go up 28-21, and you know, but the Vandals never wavered. It was a very intense game to watch. Eastern didn't have their starting quarterback; they had Jacob. Something I can't remember his last name. His name's Jacob, taking the snaps, and he ran for over 100 yards as a quarterback, which is something that the Vandals need to address, is the fact that their defense has not done great at stopping running quarterbacks really ever, which could prove difficult come October 28th when we play Montana State. Even though it's in the dome, you have Sean Chambers and hopefully Tommy Malott is back. I know that sounds weird to ask for a player on another team, especially when, in my opinion, he is the better of the two quarterbacks. Tommy knows how to pass and throw, but as a kid from Montana, seeing Tommy be successful coming out of Butte, Montana, is really fun for me. So hopefully he can be back for that game. But back to the Eastern Washington game. Idaho scored 23 unanswered points to take a 44-28 lead. And then Eastern scored late. I think the final score was 44-36. And then Idaho was able to just march down the field and kneel it to end the game. Mark's exact words here are, Anthony Woods is that guy when it comes to this Eastern Washington game and this year as a whole. He put up 211 yards and second all-time in Idaho football history, 5 touchdowns on only 23 attempts, averaging 9.2 yards per carry. He was named the Big Sky Offensive Player of the Week and the NCAA Digital FCS Player of the Week. Behind him is Nick Romano, a guy who, as Trevin down at the Lewiston Tribune put it, any other guy in Nick's position would have left. Kochek mentioned it at the press conference after EWU. Nick Romano was really the fifth string guy last season, and he's come out as the second string. He's a senior running back behind Anthony Woods. He had 18 attempts for 129 yards. Having two rushers over 100 yards, one of them over 200. Thankfully, they fixed it. Anthony Woods fell on a 30-yard muffed snap, pretty much. The snap went awry, flew back 30 yards. Anthony Woods was the guy who landed on it, and they made sure to give him his flowers, so to speak, as he got those 30 yards back, landing at 211 yards. The offensive line is one of the biggest stories in Idaho football this season. In spring ball, in the fall, they didn't look great. Coach X said Trevin called them terrible. I personally don't think I read the article, but I do remember there being something written about the offensive line, and they weren't good. In all honesty, the offensive line was my biggest concern coming into this season, but they have done very well in the run-blocking game. They also didn't let up any sacks. Giovanni McCoy, when he goes to throw the ball, has been pressured a lot. But luckily, between Giovanni McCoy's legs, his ability to throw the ball away if he needs to, his ability to hit Jermaine Jackson or Hayden Hatton or Therese Traynor or Jordan Dwyer, these guys downfield when he's got three or four other dudes in his face is incredible. So hats off to Giovanni McCoy. Didn't really have a big impact through the air in last game. 8 for 18, 128 yards, touchdown and an interception. It was really just a bad ball. He threw it a little low, and it went right to the defender's hands. But, Idaho comes out on top, so you can really look past that interception. Didn't really change the game a whole lot. He also ran 4 times for 22 yards. And a fun little stat here from Mark, 159.3 career QB efficiency rating. He is number one among all active FCS players with at least 325 career attempts. He's mostly been throwing to two guys, Jermaine Jackson and Hayden Hatton. Jermaine had one attempt for 31 yards on the ground. I think that was a little trick play there. And then 3 receptions for 43 yards. Hayden Hatton had 3 receptions for 41 yards. And Therese Traynor has come back from injury completely and has looked incredible this season. He had 1 reception for 33 yards. Jermaine Jackson, one of his receptions was incredibly controversial. If you were standing on the sideline next to a multitude of Eastern Washington fans, when Jermaine caught the ball, got 1 foot in bounds, it was originally called not a catch. Originally called a catch. Guy comes across the field, goes, "What the heck are we talking about?" It's reviewed. It's declared a catch. And I don't think I've heard fans as mad about a call since the exact same thing happened in a Sacramento State game. I think they might have been playing Montana. Sac State receiver had his foot literally right next to the line, and it was declared a catch. So, looking at the defensive side of the ball, Mark was very blunt here. You know, our defense has struggled tackling all season, and we saw it a lot during the Eastern Washington game. And there was a guy who I think ran off for a 30-yard rushing touchdown, and he should have been tackled for like a 3-yard loss. The defensive line has struggled stopping the run. However, they've been able to force pressure on pass plays. But when you have a quarterback like Jacob, whatever his last name is, I should probably double check that. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep sounding like a guy who doesn't know what sports are. His name is Jared. His name's Jared, not Jacob. Jared Taylor. Sorry to any Eastern Washington fans listening. I should have double checked that earlier. That's on me. Jared Taylor, going back, you know, he only passed for 92 yards, but he ran for 130 on 22 attempts, and or 121 for on 22 attempts. He would Keyshawn James Newby got into the backfield for a sack, and I think that's probably where the 9-yard loss comes from. But he ran in for 2 touchdowns, threw for 1. So now he's a very good backup quarterback. Kakoa could possibly be taking the snaps. I think Eastern has a bye this week. A lot of Big Sky teams had a bye this week. There are only 3 Big Sky games today, all happening at the same time. But back to the defense, the last point Mark here had here is that they can't get off the field on third down. And, you know, that has been a struggle for Idaho's defense, is being able to get to the get off the field on third down, stop teams on fourth down. You know, it has been a struggle. Hopefully the Idaho defense can really get kicked into gear this week against Cal Poly. But the special teams, on the other hand, is almost perfect. Of the first 4 weeks of Big Sky football, three out of 4 weeks, Idaho has won Big Sky Player of the Week. So that's Big Sky Player of the Week for special teams. It's been Ricardo Chavez, I think, twice. And then this last week, it was Jermaine Jackson. Ricardo Chavez, before last week, was perfect in his Idaho career on PAT attempts. He was 5 for 6 last week. I was standing there right as he kicked it, and I went, I don't think Ricardo Chavez is ever going to miss an extra point. So you can put the blame on me for that one. My apologies there. But he was 1 for 1 for field goals, and Jermaine Jackson was the Big Sky Special Teams Player of the Week last week with 151 kick return yards, including an 84-yard return, which landed them on the 7-yard line. And then Anthony Woods punched it in. So Idaho going on the road down to Cal Poly for the first time ever in San Luis Obispo, found out yesterday that it's a B, not a D. So thank you to everybody who corrected me in the comments of the Vandal Nation Facebook post about it. I control Cal Poly in my Retro Bowl college coaching career, I guess. And I have been reading it as San Luis Obispo for the last like 2 weeks. So my apologies for that, for completely spelling it wrong and then not noticing at all. So but they're headed to Mustang Memorial Field for the first time ever. The Vandals have played Cal Poly 3 times, have taken all 3 games, and I do kind of want to get into the history of this game. I spent a lot of time kind of looking into it, seeing how Idaho has fared against Cal Poly, seeing kind of what this game will look like. Going back to their first ever game, they won game 1 38-33 in 1996, game 2 20-13 in 2007, and game 3 21-9 in 2019. In game 1, I think The spokesman review article written by Jim Meehan said that Idaho was up like 28-0. And then Cal Poly looked like they were going to be able to come back, and they weren't able to. It was maybe 24-0, somewhere around there. But Ryan Feen put up 305 yards, completing 50% of his passes. And then, similarly to what Idaho has done all season this year, Deontay Jackson ran for 214 yards on 30 attempts. And then just 4 years ago, Andre Carter, a guy who graduated, I think, after my freshman year, had 179 yards on 23 attempts. So Idaho could look to run or throw the ball this game. Cal Poly has not been great on defense. They have given up 207 rushing yards per game and 5.4 yards per rush. And they've also given up 838 yards through the air, with teams averaging 9.6 yards per catch against the Mustangs. However, Cal Poly is 2-1 at home. So if you're the Idaho Vandals, you can't just walk into Mustang Memorial Field and think that you're going to walk out with a win. You know, Cal Poly was really bad last year. They were down in the trenches. I think they won two games all season. They've won two games so far. Granted, one was against San Diego, and another was against D2 school Lincoln. So this will be a tough game for the Mustangs, but it could be historic for the Vandals. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Hayden Hatton is just two touchdowns away from taking that number one spot for career receiving touchdowns, while Anthony Woods is just about 70 yards away, 70 rushing yards away from breaking into the top 20 for career rushing yards for the Vandals. So, Mark, I asked for his prediction this morning, just before heading over, and he said that he thinks Idaho is going to win 45-14. I'm very hopeful in this game that Hayden Hatton will break the receiving touchdowns record. He tied it last time at 4. The Idaho receiving touchdowns in a game record. I think he's going to break it and get his 5. I also could see, on the other hand, Anthony Woods, for the second week in a row, going for that rushing touchdowns in a game record. He put up 5 last week. He needs 6 for the record at Idaho, which was set by Roshan Johnson against Southern Utah University my freshman year 2 years ago. So it could be a big, big game for the Vandals. I'm going to take it 77-25. Hayden Hatton and Anthony Woods are both going to break records today. Or Hayden's going to break one. Anthony Woods is going to tie one. And it's just going to be an all-around good day for the Vandals. I'm going to take it 77-25. And now I'm going to head up to the swim center to take photos of the swim and dive team, who will hopefully be starting diving soon-ish. They started at 10 a.m. today. They won both of their against both opponents yesterday, 146-135 against Western Athletic Conference runner-up Grand Canyon University, and then Simon Fraser out of Canada, 226-52. So I'm going to head up there and hope that I can get some better photos today than I did yesterday. So that'll be fun. And then I will be headed to the volleyball game at 1 to get some photos of the most vandalized fans and the best fans in the state. And then at 5 p.m., I'm going to watch Idaho take on Cal Poly. You can follow along on the Vandal Nation Twitter for some live updates there, which will be sent out by none other than myself. And then tune into the game on ESPN Plus. Should be a good day for Idaho football. Thank you all for tuning in. I have been James Torman Aldrich. Mark Warren was not here today. You can follow him on Twitter, or X, I guess as it's called, at Mark Warren something. You can just look his name up. I don't remember what his Twitter is off the top of my head. And then you can follow me on X at James Aldrich 25. So thank you all again for tuning in.